How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Of talking points, points about talking from the Bible. The Bible has a lot to say about talking. Talking is very important. And in resisting other restraints that were tried to be forced upon me by Brother Corley, we nevertheless will attempt tonight to number 30. Is that right? And I think this is where we left off. That undisciplined talking steals from profit of the second page. So we still got a fair amount to go tonight. So everybody say, God help the preacher, and God help us too. Amen. Want to hear some good news? Let me tell you some good news. Christopher Lohr got accepted at Patrick Henry College. Is that good or what? Yeah, congratulations, Christopher. I was really excited when I heard it. Now, the school begins in August. Is that correct? Now, he's only got one thing, and I'm bringing this to you because we're all family here. We're going to pray all the money that it takes in to get his year paid for before he sets foot on the place. That's my faith that this is going to happen. Now, we've set up a scholarship fund within the structure of the church and run it by the lawyers and all that kind of stuff so people can contribute. And we have put together about 10 or 12 pages, can't remember now, a presentation to relatives and family and thus and so. I want you to join your faith with me that in the next 2 months, his entire first year will be totally paid for before he goes there. Amen? And so that's what I'm believing for. And we're going to work towards that end. But we want to say congratulations to Christopher. And let's all pitch in and keep praying for him. And you may have something to give, and you're welcome to do that. You will probably get, you may get one of these things in the mail. This is not an arm-twisted thing at all. We just believe that people do not need to be solicited, but only given an opportunity to give to that which is dear to their hearts. And they respond to that. That's good enough for God, and it's good enough for us. God puts it in your heart, do it. God doesn't put it in your heart, don't do it. But I'm happen to believe that all the needs going to be met. And if there's any other persons here heading for training that is going to benefit America, which is certainly is, and anybody here needs help, and we're here to help. We're all family, and so your education. If you have children that need education, and we'd be glad to work with you to help you get your children educated in the biblical way as well. So, amen. I just chewed up 6 minutes. Okay. Here we left off. Undisciplined talking steals from profitability. I don't know why it's doing that again. I hadn't done that for weeks. Plug in. How's that? Tell me in a minute. Okay. All right. Now, this is kind of important. In labor, there is profit. But talk can interfere with getting the work done. Anybody say amen to that? Are there any business owners here doesn't know that yet? And as good stewards, as you and I who work for other people, this is a matter of integrity. We are on a clock, we get paid thus and so, and to talk on other subjects to other people, and in fact, you get two or three employees talking, And we're stealing from the boss. The Bible's plain about this. In labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tends to impoverishment, to rob from the benefit of the labor that should be going on. So, hey, welcome. Come on in, right up to the front here. You're here. No, right up here, right here, right here, right here. I didn't know she was going to be able to make it. And I'm glad. Welcome, Judith Sister Johnston. Amen. I'll preach better now. Maybe. All right, number 31. Now here's the problem with talk. It tends to deteriorate. How does talking, which is such a valuable ability, which is intended by God as a means to communicate content, how can it deteriorate? Something of great worth, how can it lose its value? And the answer to that is simply that talking can deteriorate in talking for talking's sake by losing sight of the purpose of talking, which is to communicate as efficiently as possible content to another person. And so this person talks a lot. This is talking about a person who talks about the fool's also is full of words, lots of words. And here's what happens. It tends to the words of his mouth start into some kind of foolishness, and it keeps going downhill from there. The end of his talk can be as bad as mischievous madness. A fool is also full of words. And a man cannot tell what the truth is, what shall be, or what shall be after him. Who can? And you can't tell him anything because you're dealing with somebody who's talking just to hear themselves talk. So they have lost sight of the vision and the purpose of talking. And of course, you recall one of the areas that we covered already, that in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. And so this is what happens. Too much talk deteriorates, and we've got to be aware of that. And then we must learn this, that talking should never be filthy, should never be foolish, should never be insincere, and should never be shameful. Now, there's much to say about this subject in the Bible, but let's go to the text in Ephesians here. And notice what follows here is not to be once named among us, because it's not becoming to saints. I don't know how many saints are in the house tonight. If you're a saint, say amen. That's good, that's good. That's what you are. Did you know that? St. Judith just arrived. Boy, I hope she calls me St. David. Never heard it yet, but you are saints. If you don't know that you're saints, you need to turn to the first opening chapter of the book of Ephesians and see it. Paul addresses the whole book of Ephesians to the saints. The epistles are addressed to saints, which is you. Now, because we are saints, there are certain things that are not becoming to us or our sainthood. And not only are there some things that are unbecoming to our saintliness, but there are some things that are not to be even once named among us. Now, here's where the list begins. Here are the things that are not to be among us. Filthiness. I doubt, possible, but I doubt that this is referring to having a dirty body. Filthy as in forgot to wash your hands.
before you eat.
Fact. The Scripture tells us and warns us to cleanse ourselves of filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. A person can have a filthy spirit. That means their person, at the, we're not talking about just their mind is filthy, obviously, and their bodies could well be filthy too, and their minds will be filthy if the spirit is filthy. This is a condition that is transformed and washed and cleansed out of us at Calvary. He comes to wash us clean. Well, what's he going to wash? What gets washed by the blood of Jesus? The common answer is your heart. That's appropriate. Well, what is your heart? The word heart is synonymous with your spirit. They are the same thing. Now watch this. That washing of the spirit, the washing of regeneration, takes place by the blood of Jesus. But after that, you need to wash your own brains. Did you know that? That's why that second step, it goes to Romans 12, that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now you got to get the mind as clean as your spirit is. Because the spirit was designed by God to rule the mind, which tells the body what to do. You follow that? But the origination of action takes place in the spirit. And our minds must become subject to the spirit. So, what should not happen is there shouldn't be filthiness, and it shouldn't be part, watch this, not just not filthy talk, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. These three are not convenient. Now, this word jesting here has this Greek origin, which is defined by Strong's Concordance as witticism in the vulgar sense. Now, I'd never heard of this word before. This is new to my English language. That's just a shortness in my own vocabulary. But these things should never come out of our mouth. Filthiness. Foolish talking. What is foolish talking? Except that it means to talk the same way a fool would talk. Talking like a fool. And now this would beg us a lot of time to go back through the principles we've learned before now on how to deal wisely with fool. Because in that sum of content that we studied, we learned how fools talk. And it should not occur in us. Nor this jesting. Now watch this. Because we must get this word. So let's go to the next verse. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What does darkness do? What kind of works does darkness do? You watch. Watch now. Watch the screen. I'm going to back up one verse. This is what darkness does. Filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, vulgar witticism. So don't have any fellowship with that stuff, but rather take a stand against it. Take a verbal stand against it. For it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So there are things that people do in secret that we shouldn't even talk about. So, I know there's 4 points in this one, but don't miss this. Talking should never be filthy. We're talking here about morally filthy. We're talking here about words that are just dirty. Convey dirty ideas. Convey dirty thoughts. No filthy, foolish, insincere, or talk about shameful things. I pause. Because we live, according to Scripture, in a perverse and wicked generation. This stuff has become very common. And the danger, because we live in the world, is that we should become lax and conformed. Kind of, I was driving down the street today, I was thinking about it. Interesting. Because I'm working on a piece of steel that I need to bend, and I'm working on a little fabrication of a product. And I thought of about 5 words. Because I need to conform the steel. I need to bend this steel to a shape that it does not want to go into. I need to make it conform. And I started thinking about this word conform, and I thought, now here's a little sermon outline for somebody. Formed. Deformed. Conform, reform, I like the last word best, transform. There's a whole sermon right there if you're a Baptist preacher. They like those kind of things. In that 12th chapter of Romans, and I do love J.B. Phillips' way of putting things. I love his translation. I quote it by time. I'm a King James guy myself, but every once in a while I squeeze some of J.B. Phillips' translation into my mind. And I like how he translates that verse in Romans 12. Here's what he says. He says, don't be conformed to the world. And his way of phrasing that is, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And this is a problem we got today. And the problem is that a whole lot of people are coming out moldier than others. It is possible to have the world squeezing us to talk like it talks. So here we have the biblical instruction to never talk filthy, foolish, insincere, or shameful. And then we learn that talking intelligently to God is a very high priority. So, how much of your talk time today was talking to God? That's a good question to ask you. Did you have talk time with God today? That's a really important question. Somebody said that you can do nothing but pray until you've prayed. Another quote of history has to do with, you can't talk to men about God until you've talked to God about men. But have you talked to God? Because one of the talking points of the Bible is that we should be spending time in this high priority of talk, addressing it to God, talking to God. Take a look at Scripture with me. Righteous art thou, O Lord. And look at this. When I plead with thee. You know you're welcome to do that. You know you ought to do that. Now, pleading isn't getting down and groveling in the dirt. Pleading is like a lawyer before a jury, pleading the cause, arguing the case, presenting the facts, the information as he understands them. So, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I bring the issues to you. Yet let me talk with thee. And I like that because this is really not, as you're going to see in a moment, not about talking to God as much as it is talking with God. Everybody get that? Yet let me talk with thee. Now watch, this is kind of important because see the subject matter here. Let me talk with thee of thy determinations, of thy judgments, of thy adjudications, of the decisions that you have made. Because I see it this way, I bring it to you, and let me talk with thee of how you determine, how you judge, how you pass verdict, how you rationalize, how you reason, would be a better word. I want to know about your judgment. So that's a high priority. In fact, look at this scripture. This is a delightful thing. And this may well fly in the face of a theological view that can't include this interaction with God. There are people who hold theological views that have backed man into a corner as a mindless, nothing, nobody, a blob, clear, colorless blob, and God knows everything, and there is no interaction with him. He has always known whatever will be, and just shut up and listen. It's not how the Bible represents God at all. This is a remarkable invitation. Isn't this a wonderful invitation? God, this is God saying this. God says, come now. And let's reason together. Now there are times when God is above reason, above reason, but he's never unreasonable. It can be beyond your reason. But hang out with him for a while, and you'll get as reasonable as he is, and you'll understand his reasons. Our problem is we hang out with stupidity. Yeah. See it all day long on television, hear it all day long on the radio. We understand that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. Corinthians chapter 1. God He's not closed to discussion. Now, there are some things that you will not be able to change his mind about. In fact, you ought to be very thankful for that. I love that about God. You will never convince God to be unholy. I like that about God. Imagine the condition that the universe would be in, or this planet Earth for that matter, if we could get God to become like us. Now I'm going to give you a verse, I'm going to let you hear it a little different. The fear of the Lord. Ready? The fear that the Lord has is to hate evil. God knows how devastating evil would be if allowed, rampant, unintercepted, unbounded in the universe. He does not want a universe out of control because of evil. So there's some things God, you will not get God to change. Good will always be good and evil will always be evil. And if you're going to talk him into making your adultery good, you will not succeed at that. With all the reason you might bring. God, she's beautiful. God, she... I know she's married to somebody else, but God, I want her. And God, I want you to help me. Forget it. Yeah, forget it. However, beloved, there are a lot of matters in which God invites verbal intercourse, in communication. And he says, come and let's reason together. Now, this was always a shock to me because I was basically taught and It wasn't always a shock. It wasn't a shock when I became a Christian. It wasn't a shock in my first Christian years. It was only a shock when I went to a seminary taught by professors who had a view of God that was foreign to me. I never saw it in the Bible. This is God up here, and just forget the words on the screen here. I'm just going to draw over top of it. And here, I am way down here. And God has this on-flowing will and intentions. Watch this now. And prayer is taking my ideas and my thoughts to God and discussing them here with him. Making contact with God and giving him the right at this junction to either affirm my ideas or adjust my idea or deny my idea. And so prayer, this is prayer, lifting my thoughts and my ideas and my feelings to God for his inspection. And here's the wonderful thing I find in the Bible, and I'm going to try to reduce it to you, for you, in a simple diagram. Watch. Because I have this dialogue with God about my thoughts, my feelings, and a particular situation or a person or whatever else, watch this. God is free to change what would have been because now he can wisely do so because we have had this discussion. Now, if you're looking for an analogy, I'll make, oh my clock. If you're looking, to be continued next Wednesday night, okay? If we don't get to tonight, it's just okay. I don't want to just rush through the sake of getting through the points here. But you're looking for an analogy of this. Take a father and a son. Father's got certain restrictions on a son, and properly so. But if the son brings his thoughts and ideas and they have this discussion and this interaction up here, the father is now free because the son is a little brighter now, a little more informed now, a more alert now, at least aware to what the issues are, and the father can adjust what was really a tight cord before and loosen it up a bit. And he can wisely do that now, but without, watch this now, but without this dialogue that occurred here, he couldn't wisely make a change. And I tell you to my soul's absolute delight that in my discovery of the God of the Bible is that he invites us, yea, he solicits, yea, he entreats us to come to him with our thoughts and with our ideas and have a discussion with him. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And you will come out of that meeting with several changes. Your sins will have gotten forgiven. Isn't that good? Because that's where it goes from here. Though they've been red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. And when you come out of that meeting with God, you come out aligned with God in a new way where God can now do with you and in you what before that meeting he could not have done wisely. Otherwise, my friends, prayer would make no sense. And this is why many people have quit praying. There are two reasons. A, God's not going to change. So no sense talking to him about it. So they give it up. Or B, they give it up because they can't get God to do what God shouldn't do. And so in their view, their prayers don't work. He's not going to. You follow? Because prayer was never designed to get God to become the servant of our selfishness. And people get mad at God and quit praying because they can't get enough people saying the same thing to God enough times and twisting God's arm sufficiently to get him to behave the way they think he should, so they quit praying. They say it's no good. You see, there are two extremes and both are wrong. God says, come, come on. Let's reason together, say for it. Okay. Number 34. Remember number 33. Talking intelligent to God is a high priority. This goes links with it. Don't talk when it's time to listen. Now, most people go talking to God, and after they've had their say, they say amen and leave and go about their business. And they haven't listened to one word from God yet. That's why we talk with God. Now look at this great biblical illustration of this. And the hand of the Lord was upon me. Whoa. You know how wonderful that is to have the hand of the Lord upon you. To know that God's dealing. You know, I think this would be a very lonely planet, no matter how many people were around me, if God had deserted and his hand was not upon us. How do you know that the hand of the Lord is upon you? I want to tell you the fastest way to find out that the hand of the Lord is upon you. You start thinking about some sin, and if the hand of the Lord is upon you, you will immediately be convicted. Because the hand of the Lord's upon you. And he isn't going to let you do what you intend to do without interrupting. But he loves you. And the Lord's upon you. You know the hand of the Lord's upon you when you set out to do a certain thing that may not be sin. But there's divine interference. Isn't that wonderful? Because I could have been going the wrong way at the wrong time, on the wrong street, to meet the wrong car at the wrong intersection. And the hand of the Lord is upon you. Ever made a driving decision and you can't explain this except it came to your mind to do otherwise? What is it? Beloved, it's the hand of the Lord upon you. Oh, hallelujah. Now listen to the prophet. The hand of the Lord was upon me. And he, the Lord, said unto me, I want you to change your geography. Arise. Get out of the house. And go into the plain and you and I will talk. And I will talk there with thee. I will talk there with thee. Do you understand that in talking, there are some places it's not appropriate to do the talking? There are some circumstances when talking should be restrained. For example, if you are ever going to talk to someone about, let's say, a splinter in their eye. There are certain times not to do that. You've got to get the beam out first. But there are certain places not to do it. You don't want to talk to somebody about the splinter in their eye in front of other people. Do you hear that? Don't scold your child in front of others. Say to him, go to the plain and I will talk there with thee. Well, my dad didn't call it the plain, he called it my bedroom. Go to your bedroom, son, I'll be there to talk with you. Because there's some conversations that should not be in the wrong context, wrong location. And when talking to God, there are times when God says, you know, I want you to go somewhere else to do this. I want you to walk the beach, or I want you to go get in your car. Go park over the school that you're going to own, park on the beach, and sit in the car, and I'll talk to you there. What? I don't know where he tells you to go. If God tells you to go to a place where you and he can talk there together, you want to do that. Because in his divine wisdom, where you are right now has got interference in its environment, and he and you can't have clear talk. I don't know if you're hearing what the Lord's saying. When the prophet Hosea was stuck married to this woman who was a whore, God told him the steps to take to win her back. Let me tell you what some of the steps were. Number one, take her into the wilderness. Get out of town. Go to a new environment. Get her away from city life. Number two, speak comfortably to her. Couples, listen to me for a moment. Not that this extreme Hosea passage is the only precedent for what I'm about to tell you. But there are some discussions a man and a wife need to have that should not be done in the context of a house, of a home. Go for a drive. Get somebody to look after the kids and take a day off. Go somewhere else. Context is really important. Now watch here. So God says, go into the plain. I will talk with you there. So I rose and I went forth onto the plain. Into the plain. And behold, the glory of the Lord stood there. Still isn't time to talk. You just stand there. And the glory of the Lord stood there. And I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet and spake with me and said unto me. Remember this. At least one half of prayer is listening. It's more important that I hear from heaven than heaven hear from me. It is more important that God directs me than that I direct Him. So, one of the talking points is don't talk when it's time to listen. Because if you do, won't be able to hear. And more than guided missiles, we need guided men. What we need today, people listen, do what God says. We say amen. I'm finished.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.